You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. And have you ever thought about syncing your to-dos with the moon? Yeah, me neither. But here's an episode that proves a little woo-woo can bring out your best business you. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. While we're on the topic of making healthy eating a whole lot less hellish, although that's what we're always on the topic of here on the Party of My Plants podcast, one of my favorite essential non-hellly healthy staples, as you probably know by now, is Amazing Grass Greens Powder. And I am so excited that Amazing Grass is sponsoring this podcast episode. I truly, honestly, wholeheartedly adore Amazing Grass's amazing grasses, which I'm sure you're well aware of if you follow me on Instagram. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and I don't want to live without. And it just so happens that one of the kitchen tools I'm going to outline in today's episode is the vehicle through which I enjoy Amazing Grass. Amazing. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not just some measly 10%, 40% off. That's almost half off your Amazing Grass order if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. My guest today is a holistic nutrition turned business coach and yoga teacher turned productivity preacher who's obsessed with showing ladies how to weave wellness with work, dodge burnout, and get the good stuff done. Abby Miller's roots are in yoga, but somewhere along the way, through her tabletop poses, her cobras, and some proud warriors, she realized that to be the proudest warrior of all, you have to be able to flow through your workday by balancing your overall wellness. While running her holistic nutrition and yoga biz for 11 years, she is well-versed in the self-employment juggle of feeling exhausted, hangry, and face-palming every time you look at your to-do list. That's why through private coaching and mentoring, public speaking, transformational events, and luxury yoga retreats, Abby helps ladies optimize their life so their health and work flourish like a well-watered chia pet. Her combo of wellness with business is nothing short of, well, magic, which is a word she uses a lot. So much so that I would be highly supportive of you turning Abby's use of magic in this chat into a kombucha drinking game. Abby, thank you so much for coming on the Party of My Plants podcast.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, try to match that energy. Sorry to take you out of your pre-podcast meditation by yelling.
It's my favorite way to come out of meditation. Perfect. So this is perfect.
Yeah, I was just looking on Instagram. What were you doing? You were like in the dark. I saw plants. You were meditating in Palo Santo or whatever, Palo Alto, yeah. Santo.
Yeah, I put text over the story. I wrote Palo Santo because it was almost burnt out. And I was like, people are going to think I'm smoking a blunt before we do our call.
Oh my God. That is hilarious.
Just Palo Santo. It's, you know, all legal. But yeah, I meditate every morning. I have this little, like, it's my little nook in my den. And it's just like a little cozy area. I've got my plants. I got my essential oils. Basically, I want to feel like I'm snuggled by plants when meditating. So
that's
it's lovely.
Genius. I have plants, but I don't snuggle them when I meditate. I should give that a shot.
It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world.
What essential oils do you use for your meditation?
Oh, girl. I mean, how much time do you have? This morning I used vetiver. It's very grounding. Mm-hmm. So loving on that. But I really just kind of let my mood dictate where I'm oiling.
Ooh, free flowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of meditation do you do?
Again, depends. I think the ritual is that I show up and sit but the actual content of what I do is always differs. My whole thing is I struggled to meditate for so freaking long. Like background, I was a yoga or am a yoga teacher for 10 years. You know, I've been a meditation teacher for that long as well. And it's like, you know, the plumber's pipes always leak. It was like, I just relate to the struggle of showing up. I really experience it. And so my non-negotiable is that I sit. So there are days if I'm headed to the airport or I have an early client meeting that sometimes it's 5 minutes. Yeah. And for me, it's like, at least I did it. You know, I still have that ritual and that like literal touchstone.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, really, I love breathing. I mean, it's the simpler, the better. Lately, I've been really loving Insight Timer, which is a free meditation app. They have all different teachers. So it's just fun sometimes if I want to be guided or if it's there's a particular situation happening and I'm wanting a little more of a structure.
Yeah, even teachers need teachers. You're a meditation teacher and you still need your meditation teachers.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, this was a perfect intro and a segue into who you are. And I'm excited to dive in. I mean, you are a yoga teacher turned productivity preacher, which are two things that don't usually get smushed into a sandwich. I mean, when you think yoga, you usually don't also think productivity. Like when I think yoga, I think not being productive. You're just sitting there wasting your life. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't like yoga. I like running. So for me, I'm like, this is boring. Is this shit almost over? I like force myself, oh my God, right? If I ever go to yoga, which is like twice a year, to not wear my Apple Watch because the whole time I'm just like, come on now. So yeah. So talk to me about how you've merged yoga with productivity.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, my background is in wellness. I ran my own wellness company for 10 years doing yoga, nutrition, and meditation. And it was all tied in a little wellness bow. And I was like, okay, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I started the pivot towards productivity was, you know, as a business owner, I'm sure same with you, Talia. I had so many people asking me all things business, you know, like, how do you launch a brand? How are you selling out yoga retreats? How are you paying your rent? How are you staying sane? Right. How are you staying sane without a boss? Like all the things. And it pivoted pretty quickly where I realized that the bulk of the queries I were getting were a little bit more meta than just what to eat, but that were like this, like giving more lifestyle questions. And so that there was a really conscious shift for me where I realized that so I started business coaching essentially.
Got it.
Start mentoring at first yogis. So I helped mostly women launch their first yoga retreat. I was leading yoga retreats all around the world. And so it's kind of like, hey, like I've got a system. Let me teach you, you know, let me save you time. And then from there, it started to be then, you know, acupuncturists and massage therapists, people kind of outside of my immediate industry. And then now I work with painters and graphic designers and dancers and all different creative entrepreneurs. But for me, I realized the business side of things, like it's all connected, right? I would work with people strictly in a business coaching setting, but inevitably at some point when I'm working with these high achievers, the conversation of self-care is so needed for them to sustain. The conversation of self-care is needed for them to reach their numbers, you know? And inevitably, it always came back to the nutrition, the yoga, the meditation, the mindfulness, the wellness. And then I'd work with my wellness clients and we would be talking about all things health. And then from there, inevitably, the conversation of like purpose and your career would come up. So really just last year, I've had this whole shape shift in just like, you know, yoga teacher turned productivity preacher, just like hybridizing it all and just realizing it's all so connected. So what I love and, you know, the joy of private coaching is that I can really meet people where they're at and we're able to either nerd out about self-bossing productivity and systems, or let's talk about meal planning when you're gearing up to speak at a conference.
Oh, I love that. That is so, so cool and so spot on and so, you know, essential. You're right. I mean, would you say then that like, self-care is wellness? I mean, I personally think they're like, that's the same thing. Like, right? Is that sounds like, well, that's what you found, right? That for these high performers, the high achievers that wanted, you know, to up their self-care, what you're really saying is up your nutrition, you know, up your exercise, up your meditation, like your self-care. It's this, they're interchangeable, right?
Totally. And I think education has evolved. Science has evolved. We understand now it's not just like you do you, and then once a year, the doctor gives you meds and you're fine, right? Like we understand now that our kind of our normal, our everything is comprised of these little micro moments. These, you know, like with epigenetics, we understand now that it's not just like this, these are the genes you've been given, good luck, but that every single decision we make, no pressure, can turn on or off certain genes, you know, turn on or off inflammation, all of these things. So I think that we, you know, while to some it could be really daunting, I see it as really freaking empowering that we have so much more control than we think over our own health. So yeah, I think it is a lot of just like putting it back in our own hands. Or I mean, it's been there all along, but realizing it's there.
Yeah, having science to back up that what we do with our own hands actually makes a difference.
Totally.
So what are some ways that you begin to help women, you know, use wellness / self-care tactics or strategies to up their productivity?
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough question. That's a broad question.
No, I love it. One thing I'm really stoked on right now is periods and really looking at our cycles in relation to our work. And I am not, you know, creating this movement. Like there is a movement.
Okay. I just wrote that down as something to say when you were done talking, but I'm just going to interrupt you. Periods are having a moment right now.
Right?
Like what is going on? I feel like everyone's talking about cycles and, you know, timing your work with your cycles. And then there's the moon cycles, which is also tied to your period. Everything's about periods and cycles. What?
Yeah.
What? Where is this coming from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, periods have been around for a while. So has the moon, last I checked. But I think that, you know, who knows? I'm 34. I can only speak through my own lens and perspective. But I think that women are like, we don't give an F anymore. Like these things that have been stigmatized, like we're tired. We don't have time for that anymore. And
we got shit to do.
Right? We got shit to do. And it's so deeply, powerfully, like, important. And I have a method called the Monday Magic Method, which I don't know when will air, but it's launching just in a few weeks. And this is the exact method that I use kind of back to productivity. It's the exact method that I use to start my week. And it's how I align and plan all my sessions and decide, like, what the hell to do first on my to-do list and all the things. And what I start with is we start with meditation, but then there's a part in the method where we check in with the moon and our cycle. And the reason I'll just speak personally, like why I'm into it, is historically I've had really painful periods. And so it was always something I just dreaded. It was something that, you know, it was like you just get the flu every month, right? Like it just was this thing that I was like, oh God, it's coming, you know?
Yeah.
And would drug myself with all the Aleve and push through. And that was always my MO. And perhaps it's sort of, I could see some feminists viewing this as sort of a backstep, but I see it as a step forward that we are able to acknowledge, yes, I can take all the drugs and push through, but I don't have to anymore. And I think some of that is the freedom of entrepreneurship is really being able to work in a more cyclical way. Like the only business model that exists in the world, I shouldn't say the only, the one that is embodied by Western society is masculine. It's like, there's no daily rhythm, at least I should speak specifically in the US. And it's like, you wake up, you hit it hard, 9 to 5, rinse and repeat.
Which now 9 to 5 is like 8 to 8, you know, for some jobs.
Oh my God, totally. Yeah, especially New York. Yeah, yeah, you're like commuting. And
where do you live?
I live in Austin, Texas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's it's super fun.
The spot. Okay, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I know. I'm giving you a very long answer.
No, I just interrupted you.
I think.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's been like this masculine thing of like, you just power through, same schedule every day, you know, no change, no cycles.
Exactly. And that we burn out. Like there's no effing way we can do that. And so what I love is looking at our period, not as a handicap, but as this like incredible map. It's like, okay, cool. This map has been made. Let's follow it. And to harness our superpowers, like for example, when we're ovulating, our centers of communication are very elevated, right? We're very chatty. We're very like lit. We're like, hey, let's go to all the parties. And so it's like, have that be the time that you're booking your speaking gigs, that you have all your client calls, that you're doing all your videos, right? And obviously you don't have control over your whole schedule always, you know, but if you, but for the things that you do have control over, for that to be when you book those things. And then when you're like premenstrual, when you're in the luteal phase, you know, that's when our kind of our critical thinking is turned up. For those of us that have PMS, sometimes it's, it can be as extreme as being kind of really like just so sensitive and like nothing feels good enough. And it's like, that's the time that we should be editing, you know, like, that's when you should be doing your accounting because you're just going to be so detail oriented anyway. So again, for me, it's all about looking at what's your superpower and how can you harness it to like dodge burnout and get the good shit done.
That is really cool. Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm sure someone listening, I mean, what if someone's listening and they're not an entrepreneur, they don't work for themselves. Is there any way that you've been able to help women do this in like a normal corporate setting?
Oh, it's such a good question. So I think, yeah, the more control we have of our schedules, of course, the more we're able to like implement in our 9-to-5. That said, even just knowing where you are at and having self-compassion, let's say your schedule is made for you and you aren't able to, you know, do the more introverted work on X week and do the extroverted on X week. But yeah, even just to know, okay, I'm in a place where I'm going to be a little bit more critical. I'm going to be a little bit more sensitive. It's like to kind of put up your boundaries a little bit and have, you know, just even with like the way that you're like, oh, that wasn't good enough. You know, if you have an assignment or something, you know, deadline you're working on, just to have that compassion for yourself too, I think is so powerful, even if you don't work, you know?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I think we normally have just been programmed to just power through. And totally. I think it's a totally different way of looking at it and living to, yeah, with the compassion and the understanding and the acceptance, you know, now that it's becoming so much more common and comfortable for everyone to like honor their cycle. If we can all be like, oh, like I feel like we are moving towards this, like, out being outspoken about like, I'm in my, you know, PMS period right now. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, I can't come to your party. Like, I feel like we're going there. Like that's going to happen, but it's funny. Oh, yeah. How does like the monthly hormonal cycle different or the same as the moon cycle? Can you track, like, how do you track your work based on the moon cycle? If you don't want to go, like, I'm on birth control, so I can't really do the hormonal stuff, I assume.
Totally. Yeah. I get asked that a lot too. Yeah. So charting, I mean, my first step advice for anyone who's not on a birth control is to just start charting. There's so many amazing apps. I love Flow Living or Glow. Those are both great period apps. Okay, yeah. And if you are on a hormonal, I can't say that 10 times fast.
Hormonal birth control.
Are on that.
Every time I say I'm on birth control, I feel like I'm like admitting I smoke. Like I always, because nowadays, like no one's on birth control, especially in the wellness world. I have like, I don't want to say shame because like I feel better on it. My periods were very, very, very bad. And I, you know, whatever, you do you. But every time I say it, I've like literally winced. Like I just admitted, like, guys, I secretly smoke a pack a day. Just wanted to clear the air.
It's not the same as smoking a pack a day, first of all. And second of all, birth control is an incredible invention. You know, it changes lives. No shame. That is such a personal decision. You know, I personally believe we should all have access to it. I think it should be free. You know, don't get me started. I know personally, I'm a total nerd. And I also have, like I said, had really bad cramps. And I really just kind of went down the rabbit hole of research and wanted just, I think my inner nerd was like, I'm going to fix my period.
No, it's epic. Yeah.
I really wanted to try it out, you know? And I will say, I mean, I did a ton. I have a whole blog post on how I healed my menstrual cramps. We could link to, but
yeah.
Honestly, I think giving myself, this is going to suck. We're getting very close very soon.
That's great. but
giving myself permission to be in pain, my period stopped hurting as much. When I gave myself permission to have a day where I'm not this like all-star productivity champion and just to be like, dude, I'm going to like read a book and like answer emails and not
I don't know, not be like on it in the same way. When I took the pressure off myself, there's an amazing, have you ever heard of Rebecca Campbell? Do you know that author?
No.
Okay, she wrote a book called Light is the New Black.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, she's amazing. But she has a whole, like her whole take on it is that healers and certain personalities have more pain because they have a harder time like resting, basically.
Ooh.
Like people who are, you know, oh, we were chatting offline about the Enneagram.
Yes.
And for anyone listening, I'm a 3. So okay. If you know the Enneagram.
I don't even know. Can you just give us like a, we're going off track, but I need to get like a Enneagram 101. Is that too much?
Disclaimer, I am so not an expert, but I have done.
You took a course. Yeah.
I did. Yes. Everyone look up Abby. They do a course. Not me.
I'm like, that's you. I'm like, okay, well, look you up.
I need to check their last name, but there's a person named Abby in Austin as well who, their company is called the Conscious Enneagram. And they leave courses and do, I think, a lot of it online too. But I really love their take on Enneagram. Anyway, that's who I took a little course with. But so, yeah, so not an expert. But the Enneagram is basically a personality typing system. And it's based, you know, it's created by psychologists and therapists. So it can be as woo as you want it to be in your own mind. But it's really, you know, based on research. And I actually don't even know how old it is. I think it's like 100 years old or something.
Oh,
it's not
it's having a moment too, just like periods.
Right. It's all up there with the period, with the moon and the period.
All these things just coming like, back.
It's retro heyday. I just think it's so fascinating. And so there's 9 personality types. And one thing I will say my teacher says is don't ever take an online quiz, which of course I've done 100 times.
Oh, I did that too. I don't even remember what mine was. It was like you're, I don't remember.
Yeah, it'll usually say you're likely, and then it'll give you like 3 choices.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay, I was going to say it gave me like 2 or 3, so I just didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Abby does is they'll interview you so that you can kind of self-type. And it was so interesting because I went into their training thinking I was a 7, so for anyone listening, who knows? And
shout out to 7.
The training, and at the end, I was totally a 3. So I think what's interesting and probably so true in all of life, we think we are who we want to be, but not who we actually are.
That's deep.
Yeah. So interesting. But I think, okay, so the reason that I love the Enneagram is both for self-knowledge and as I work with clients as well, we've been talking about it a bit in our work styles and actually really looking at it as a useful tool to really understand your greatest fear and your pain points. You know, if someone's greatest fear is mediocrity or failure, they're going to move through the world so much differently than someone whose greatest fear is conflict, you know, or on the boat at all, right? Because if someone's greatest fear is failure, they're going to be like, I got to rock the heck out of this boat as long as it doesn't sink, right? Whereas the person who's terrified of conflict is like, whatever you do, don't breathe, you know? So, I mean, there are going to be different ways that we show up. So anyway, I mean, I know that wasn't really
a
crash course.
No, that's great. Crash enough. That was good.
Yeah.
But you were saying that you're 3 and I assume that means like high achiever type of thing. And then that's why you give yourself a break and that helped you feel better.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Boom.
Okay. Now bring me back to the moon. So if someone again is on birth control like myself, how would I go about like working with the moon here?
Yeah, girl. Well, plug alert, my Monday Magic Method has an entire area, like a whole section on it where every week when you sit down on a Monday or whatever your Monday is and plan your week, you check in with where the moon is so that you can be mindful of that energy. So for example, the moon has 4 to 8 phases depending on how you look at it. Some people even go more micro than the 8 phases, but to simplify just for the sake of my method, I highlight the main 4. And so I'll give you an example, which is a new moon is when we're in new moon time. And that's a time of planting seeds. It is a time of starting anew, of recommitting to goals. So like literally, you know, our ancestors who were farmers would literally plant seeds in the new moon, you know, so they're
got it.
Like,
yes,
this is not, you know, not again, I didn't make this up.
Theoretical seeds.
Yeah. So yeah, for some of us, it's more the creative seeds.
Yeah.
And then when you fast forward to the full moon, this is a time of release and harvest, right? So this is where you can get really fun if you're talking about a business launch or again, some kind of big offering or big event or something, is to say, okay, the full moon is going to be super intense. Like the full moon tends to intensify things. So that maybe wouldn't be a good time to do it, right? It really, again, depends on the person. So without knowing the exact personality and the launch and everything, kind of hard to give a general rule of thumb, but I do have an overview of that in the method. And I think that just even knowing what's up, you know, I mean, it's like, if the moon has the ability to affect all of the water on our planet, it affects us, right? Like aren't we like 80% water or something?
And we're very small in comparison to the water. So if it's affecting these large bodies of water, I would assume it could affect our small bodies.
Right. Exactly.
Fascinating. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more. Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was muy skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray. Because I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and haya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way. You can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. So that's so cool. So that's what you've been kind of focused on with your clients now, weaving wellness with business.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool. And what kind of impact have you found that like exercise has on one's work performance or productivity? I know that you're a yoga teacher for 10 years, but before, I heard on a podcast, you were in the traveling Broadway cast of, was it Grease?
Yes.
That's incredible. Yeah, what, who were you in Greece?
I was in that tour. I was a cover. So that's theater speak for being an understudy for a lot of different parts.
Oh.
I was basically like in the chorus, but then I covered. I covered for Cha-Cha, who is the obnoxious dancer girl.
Yes.
Who wins the hand jive.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
But actually.
With Danny.
Yes.
Right?
And in the movie, she's like super sexy and is definitely not a teenager at the high school. But on the Broadway show, she's like not sexy. They like paint on a unibrow and she has like neon.
Oh my God. Interesting. Yeah. Switching it up. That's funny. Yeah, she's right? Like an adult, like booby lady in the movie.
Yeah, you're like, you are not a high schooler, but it's fine.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I know, I was thinking we have similar backgrounds, like performer to health.
Yeah,
health lady.
Absolutely. Just different aspects of performance, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Totally. And I think that was a big pivot for me too, was my connection with food was always how it made me look. I used to be a figure skater, then I was a dancer and musical theater actress, so it was always about how I looked. And it was a huge shift for me to really look at food and mood and how food made me feel. Yes. And I feel like even before I started working as a holistic business coach, it's like you start to see, you're like, oh yeah, that laid the foundation, whatever, 10 years ago for this now. I get it. Mm-hmm. But kind of my interest in food was always there. But I think as I, as it got healthier, and I mean that mentally, not from a disordered place or I can't eat this because my agent will fire me place, it was able to be more of a harmonious relationship.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so once you started to figure out that food makes you feel stuff, which is what I always talk about, think about how food makes you feel. When people are, stressed about how to eat healthier, they're like, I don't have willpower. I'm always just like, listen, look at how food makes you feel. That'll give you, incentive to want to eat healthier. That goes above your brain and like cravings. It's like what makes you feel energized and light. So how do you make that connection with your clients for how food makes them feel in like a business, work, entrepreneurial productivity realm?
Totally. Well, I don't think any hangry CEO is leading a strong business.
Yes.
Like, ain't nobody benefiting from that. And so I think, whether you have, whether again, you're a CEO of a giant company or you're an Etsy maker of one, anyone who's trying to create and show up in a consistent way is going to benefit from being able to show up in a consistent way. Mm-hmm. And so I think looking at our blood sugar is just such an important place to start. And so one of my favorite things is just eating in a regular pace. So I call it the magic number, the time between, for me, it's like the time between an Abby-sized meal in which I am hungry again. And, again, starting off as a yoga teacher, my schedule is all over. I teach at 6 a.m. and then I teach a nooner and then I teach at 7, then I have a client in between. It was just my schedule is super erratic. And so I wasn't someone who was like, I eat at 8, noon, and 6,
Mm-hmm.
And I really see that mirrored in all my clients as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I love to start them with, it sounds so basic, but it's really transformative, is treat yourself like you are a baby. Like if somebody gave you a newborn, well, that's kind of sad. I hope a newborn baby would be with its mama. But let's say someone gave you a 6-month-old and they gave you a bottle and they were like, okay, bye, leaving for the day. All that you would do is just wait until the baby cried. And then you would feed it and you'd kind of be doing damage control because the baby would already be upset and it would be too hungry, right? And it would get really, it would be stressful for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the mama or caretaker said, okay, I want you to feed, give them a bottle in 2-hour intervals or whatever, right? Then you would kind of know to intercept that extreme emotional reaction that babies have as a survival instinct, right? And we as adults still have that same reaction. We still, I mean, like, we don't always like sob and scream, although I've been close
some of
to
us
that.
Do.
I was say,
speak
right?
for yourself.
I've had a couple delayed flights, and one time I was in Greece before my yoga retreat, and
they do like a, I don't think they call it a siesta, but their version of, you know, a mid-afternoon break. And it was Easter and everything was closed and we had planned to get food. And I just reappropriated it in my brain. And I was like, okay, I have to fast all day and then get on a 9-hour ferry with no food.
Oh my
God. Yeah. So that was a time I think I was almost crying. I was so hungry.
Yeah. Been there.
But so anyway, so looking at how can just beginning to feed yourself in a really regular way. I think we live in such a caffeine culture where peeps are like, oh, I had coffee. That is the same as a meal. It's not. I'm not a fan of intermittent fasting for women who are premenopausal. If you care about your fertility, relying on caffeine is just no bueno. We have, you know, different hormonal patterning than of course someone who's post-menopause. But so anyway, it's really looking at nourishing your body in a regular way. If you're going to show up consistently for your business, show up consistently for your body. And it doesn't have to be, my whole thing is like healthy, not fancy. Mm-hmm. Like you do not need to make the like, you know, latest perfect green smoothie with, you know, superfood powder you overnighted from Peru. Like it's okay. If you eat a banana, like that's okay. That's enough. But just do, you know, eating in a regular way. So looking at the clients, kind of like what's your output and how can your input match that? So depending on my client's goals, right? If I'm working with someone who's, you know, hoping to lose a little weight or build muscle or get pregnant, right? We're all going to be eating differently. Are we sitting all day? What's our training, et cetera? So again, I'm a nerd, but I love to look at how food can affect our mood and essentially like reverse engineer it and say, okay, I have a huge launch coming up. I want to feel so effing empowered all week. I want to feel on my game, like just like, heck yeah, I'm on point. And so getting to the point of being hangry, being jittery from too much caffeine and sugar is going to literally directly conflict with your goal, right? Yeah. So it's eating in harmony with your biz goals is where we bring that in.
Oh, I love that. And I feel that when I get hangry or, you know, my blood sugar drops or I'm hungry, my confidence drops too. You know, when I'm full and satiated and energized, I feel like I can do anything and I'm more fearless in what I create. But when my blood sugar has dropped, I am like terrified of the world. I'm second guessing myself. I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I've never really like put that together out loud before, like as it pertains to work, like eating for confidence.
Totally. Because we, you know, the hungrier we get, our survival instincts are like, this email is not important, must feed body, right? And we start to, not only do we get, our brain is running out of glucose, but we are running out of gas. And so I think we feel kind of foggy and distracted depending on the client, of course, it could be more nuanced than that. It's not just eat more, but I think for anyone listening who does feel like let's be honest, entrepreneurship is one giant up and down roller coaster.
Yep.
So if feel up and down, ain't nothing wrong with you. Welcome to the club. And also you can soften the intensity of it with, you know, a more regular eating habit.
So if somebody's schedule is so not regular, I'm sure yours is not, mine is not, everybody I know's is not. I mean, how do you begin to bring nutritional structure into your unstructured day-to-day business life?
Totally. Well, again, with the consistency. So one thing I'll walk a client through is finding their own magic number. So for
you
me,
use magic a lot. Magic is your number. It's your word.
It's my word. I love all things magical. I know, right?
I love it. Everything is magic.
Everything is. I promise I don't work for Disney. So I'll walk a client through, we'll kind of do some experiments, right? They'll have some homework around finding the number. So again, mine is 4 hours. So if I'm waking up at like whatever, 6 and I eat breakfast at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, okay, I need to be eating by 11, right? So like when I was teaching yoga, I would usually eat breakfast around 8. This was like when I was teaching in more regular classes, I would eat around 8 and then that would hit me at 4 o'clock would be my magic number. Oh my God, I can't talk. Noon would be my 4-hour number, right?
And at noon, I was teaching. I was teaching a noon class. So it's like 12 to 1. I'm not really done until 1:15, back home 1:30 at the very earliest, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm referencing the magic number, from 8 to 1:15 is too long, right? 1:30 actually. So if I wait 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1:30, that's 5.5 hours. That's 1.5 hours past my magic number area. Then what happens is, I mean, you know, it's like the hungrier you get, the lower your standards are.
Yeah, right? I love that. You're like, it's so true.
I want a salad. And then you're like, I just want potato chips. Oh, I'll eat candy. I will eat anything.
Oh my God, so true.
But yeah, so what I started doing when I started working on this with myself is I would say, okay, if I'm teaching a nooner, and I'm eating breakfast at 8, I have to pack lunch because the thought of deciding what to eat at 1:30, I'm going to eat something that is not like nourishing to my body. I'm going to be buying fast, you know, what, not fast food, but you know, something to go, which I'm not a fan of, like generating all that trash and who knows what it is and da da da, right? So I started just packing food. So yes, it was longer than I wanted to go without eating, but I would finish class, say bye to everyone, lock up, and I would just sit and eat my lunch that I had packed. Mm-hmm. And so it was little things like that that kept me from this kind of frenzied energy, you know? So some of it is even just anchoring it in your schedule. So for my clients who do have meeting, mm-hmm. and maybe they aren't lunch packers, but they could at least say, we'll pull up the menu of their three favorite restaurants that are by their office. We'll pull out five different meal options and we'll say, okay, cool. You know, you have a meeting from X o'clock to X o'clock, and whether it's their assistant ordering their meal or they're ordering it or something like this, but kind of, again, taking the brain work out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to automate that as much as possible can be super helpful. And essentially with the magic number, it's a basic equation, right? You either eat more food less often, or you eat less food more often. And that's a totally personal thing. Of course, depending on how, you know, the macronutrient breakdown of what you're eating is going to, you know, buy you more or less time. And are you super active? Or are you sitting all day? So again, there's not just like one rule of thumb, but I love to at least look at that as a map for your day. So again, there are days if you eat at 6, your magic number is going to be, you know, your lunch is going to be earlier. If you eat later, it's going to be later. So I think for anyone having a kind of a wild schedule is just even, again, think of yourself as a babysitter and say, like, peek at the clock and say, okay, I ate breakfast at 8. Where am I going to be at noon? I'm going to be in the middle of a call. Okay, cool. I should either grab a little snack before or have lunch ready after.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I mean, I do that, but without the magic number thing. I need more magic in my life, apparently.
Like I need to make like stickers or something. I feel like it's, you know, there's like a little, there could be a fun little chart. Like our inner like 5-year-olds could be really happy about this.
Yeah, so cute. Yeah. I mean, so if somebody's listening and, I mean, I know there aren't rules of thumb. Everyone loves rules of thumb. But if they're listening, they're like, I just want to know what my magic number is. And you said, you know, some people might eat more, less often. Some people might prefer eating less, more often. If somebody's listening, like, how do they begin to figure out what they should or want to or feel best doing? Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, barring any exceptions of intermittent fasting or like keto or some type of really high fat diet that's literally built around eating way more calories and way more food like, less often, with the exception
which like is a diet. So let's, you know, call a spade a freaking spade here, people.
Right. It's a diet.
No bueno.
It's definitely a diet. I don't think anyone's just accidentally keto. I don't think anyone's like, oh, I accidentally ate this fat bomb. Whoopsies. I had no idea that it had no carbs. Right. So yeah, I generally see 3 to 5 as being kind of the median number.
Okay.
So somewhere in there. And I would say just try it. Eat, you know, tomorrow morning when you wake up, eat breakfast and really check in about, you know, starting at about 2 hours after breakfast, just check in with yourself. And I think also because we are so busy as a species, we forget what hunger feels like. We think hunger is the, I'm going to cry. We think hunger is the, my stomach is eating itself, right? And hunger is like the desire for food, you know? And so I would say if you're in a space where you can close your eyes, you know, take one deep breath and just notice like, am I hungry? Right. And really listening to the whispers instead of the screaming that we wait for. Again, when we eat when we're hungry and not hangry, we are able to make more balanced decisions.
Yeah.
And from a blood sugar perspective, we can, again, kind of stay on top of it. That's what I would do. I would just check in and I would play with it for a day and say.
Yeah. Or a week. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm like cutting you off left and right. I guess I'm not hangry. I have lots of energy. No, I just think it's so powerful to take nutrition and wellness and put it into a real life context to give you motivation to actually do the shit we're always talking about, you know? So like, if you know that eating regular, nutritious, nutrient packed meals is not just good for like prevention and like blah, 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 but like will make you more productive, like will make you more successful, will help you get more done, help you have better ideas. Like that's a great incentive to help people want to actually, you know, meal prep, or I mean, I don't meal prep, but like at least prep for meals. How about right. that? Not like pack little lunch boxes and whatever, but like yeah. actually think, where am I going to be in 4 hours? You know,
totally.
What am I going to do? You know, I think that's so powerful. Yeah. That's a really life changing yeah. way to look at life. Nice.
Totally. And maybe that's why, like, I get
just,
it. I
just
get
roll
it.
With it.
And maybe that's why I call it magic number. I like give it a sparkly name because it's not sparkly. Like it's not sexy. Yeah. It's not rocket science. It's no. so basic. And yet we overlook it. Like I had a friend say something that has stuck with me so poignant. He was on a podcast and he was talking about discipline. He's a big fitness guy and ran a juice company and was talking about kind of his habits. And one thing he was talking about as far as just like showing up for the gym was he said, you have to treat it like something you care about. Like, again, people don't just like accidentally go to the gym at 6 a.m. Like that doesn't happen in my life. Nope. I've never just been like, oh, I'm just up. I just feel like doing a HIIT workout. It just sounds great. It's like his thing was treat it like when you have a flight, you're not like, yeah, I think I might fly to Portugal. No, you like save money. You book a ticket so that you're financially accountable. You get a dog sitter, you whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You like do all the things, you pack the night before, you decide what time you're going to call the Uber. Like you plan that mm-hmm. shit, you know? It's not magic, right? It actually is a lot of planning and strategy. And then you get the Uber, you go to the airport and you go to Portugal, right? So I think that an opportunity here is to treat the things we care about with that same level of, you know, we'll call it strategy.
I love that.
And so obviously flying to Portugal is a big example, but like eating a healthy lunch, whatever it is, you know, yeah. a bowl of soup or something, it doesn't just happen. Even if you do have a home office, you know, you have to stop and cook soup. And I don't think it just happens. And I work with a lot of really busy women, and the idea of just, oh, I'm just going to make a quick instant pot soup in the middle of the day, it doesn't always happen. Some of them do.
I don't know. The idea of that just hilarious. I'm just going to make a quick instant pot soup in the middle of the day. No.
Just going to hit pause on all my deadlines, NBD. No, it doesn't happen, right? And so instead it's saying, okay, rather than just having, I mean, you know, as a health coach, it's looking at the habit, looking at what is intercepting this goal, mm-hmm. right? And scheduling that shit and saying, okay, cool. Whether it's on Sunday I meal prep or Sunday I order my Instacart or whatever it is, but actually planning for it, I think is where the transformation really happens.
I couldn't agree more. Nothing just happens. Nothing. Not even things we love. I mean, I love running and working out. I love it. Truly, the highlight of my day is when I work out and get my sweat on. However, every single day, I have to negotiate with myself and get myself to do it. 0 days out of all the days do I like, hell yeah, let's go, girlfriend. Like, can't wait to hit the pavement. 0 times. But I love it. It's my highlight. But I still have to get myself to do it. And I think people think that for runners or people that love fitness or people that love eating healthfully or any of, you know, these healthy habits that make us better performers, I think people think that we just like joyfully do all these things right. like on autopilot. And that is not true at all. And I'm glad we just debunked that myth.
Right?
Busted that shit.
And that's why it's so important to talk about it, because it's so easy in it's 2019. Everybody has a really pretty Instagram. And like, I just posted today a video of me meditating. what people don't know is that I thought, oh, maybe I should check my email first. Like, maybe I should plug in. I start later on Wednesdays than I normally start my workday. And, you know, like I had that inner struggle, like it never goes away. And I think that's a real fallacy with meditation in general, that it's only like a thing I am told quite often from people who are newer to meditation or just have never done it is like, oh, I can't meditate. Like I think too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's like someone saying, I can't stretch. I'm too stiff. It's like, that's why you stretch, you know? And again, back to the first thing I said on our call is that, you know, meditation is about showing up, right? And showing up who you are and as you are in every moment. And sometimes I sit and I think about my 800 things on my to-do list. And literally I was breathing very deeply while reviewing my to-do list.
Oh.
And sometimes I have this like baby micro moment of just breathing where I'm blank. And I heard, not sure who I'm quoting, but he was talking about how meditation is like a savings account. And he was saying, you don't save money to spend it right away. Like slowly put away money.
Oh, I like so that.
Right? Like someday when something happens, you've got the money, you can make a withdrawal. But essentially a savings account is really that you don't need it right in a regular way. And same with meditation. You don't meditate because in every moment you need it. You meditate so that you have this place you can go to, right? That you can use it when you need it.
Something I want to talk about, you were giving that Portugal example, but I want you to not make that an example and give us the IRL lowdown on how you travel healthfully, because travel is a huge part of what you do. You lead these yoga retreats. I mean, your first life traveling for Greece, that was all not to Greece. Well, also now you travel to Greece.
I know,
travel
for Greece. Right?
The show. Anyway, lots of travel going on for you. So how do you stay well on the road?
Ooh, girl. So I pack snacks as if food doesn't exist where I'm going.
I love that.
That's a bit extreme. I'm kind of joking, but I do kind of back to the being hangry thing. And, you know, sometimes I'm taking a 10-hour flight and then I have a layover and then a 10-hour ferry. And so really just giving myself some good snack options. So I'm not just like potato chip girl. Which is fine. There's a time and a place, you know. I also don't stress if that's literally the only thing I can eat. I'm, you know, life's too short to freak out about that. But I think, gosh, I mean, if you're traveling by air, definitely hydrating is huge. And then just packing shelf stable snacks, you know, getting all the bars. I really like, there's a brand from my hometown, Kansas City, called Balance. They do superfood shots that are shelf stable organic fruits and veggies, and they're really good cold, but you can put them in your carry-on and just like be on a 10-hour flight and have something that resembles produce. It's amazing.
Something
I love them.
Resembles.
Yeah, it is produce. It doesn't resemble. It is. So yeah, I mean, I think also I mean, that's like kind of just the mechanics of being in motion, but wherever I'm going, just like, what do the locals eat? How can I access the most rich, fresh, you know, especially when I'm traveling internationally too, like I so want to experience the country and the culture, you know, and I love experiencing that through food too. So,
yeah. And the food, when you do travel internationally, I mean, they're not, it's pure. It's usually very clean food. I mean, when you go to Thailand, even like that is not the same as Americanized Thai food. Like they're using real high quality ingredients and they wouldn't settle for anything less for the most part. And so I think it's wonderful when you travel to actually dive into the local cuisine, Italy, Greece, all these places.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Totally. Where's one of your favorite places you've traveled?
Oh, so many places. I mean, yeah, Italy and Greece are two places that really stand out to me. Just if we're only talking food, it's Greece. Mm-hmm. Like, I go to this tiny island. I lead a yoga retreat called Greek Chic every September. And the food there, I mean, we're on this teensy tiny island in this 5-star hotel. They have an organic farm. They're like picking the tomatoes. They're their own olives, their own olive oil. You know, it's this family business. And I mean, you just literally could not have more care and love. And I mean, talk about slow food. You know, it's like, the meals are 4 hours long.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
There are times that we've eaten lunch and had an hour break until dinner.
Ah, that's so funny.
I'm like, we need to go for
when
a
do you do yoga?
Yeah, exactly. That was the issue. I had to talk to the hotel management and actually say, y'all are amazing. We need a little space between meals. Like, we yes. actually have to speed it up a little bit. I felt so American saying that.
That's very funny. So what goes on at these yoga retreats? How often do you lead them? So that one's every year.
Yeah, last year I led retreats all over. I was in Norway. I was in Greece. I was in Morocco. I'd led one in Iceland.
Wow.
And then this year, going back to Greece, and a lot of my juice is actually going to, I lead a circle called the Biz Babe Mastermind Circle.
That sounds fun. No magic. It's not the magic mastermind.
The tagline is make a difference, make magic, make bank. So don't break.
Of course. That's hilarious. That's so funny.
So a lot of my juice is going to that right now and growing that. And, you know, so spoiler alert, looking at, doing a Biz Babe retreat at some point in 2020. So stay tuned.
You know, if somebody's listening and they're like, I've always thought about going on a yoga retreat or any kind of retreat, and there's lots of retreats available these days. What would you say to somebody that might be nervous? I mean, should they go with a buddy? Should they go by themselves? Like, are they all so different you can't really give a blanket statement about what to expect? Or are there like, you know, common, you'll get this out of the experience?
Ooh, such a good question. I mean, my first thought with anything that is, you know, higher dollar, and it's not like a 2-hour afternoon workshop, right? You're like flying to a foreign country. I think really know the company or instructor. I think either knowing them personally and just knowing you like them, and or being familiar with the modality or method or, you know, style of whatever it is that they're teaching, I think is so important. I don't tend to hear a lot of negative stories about retreats, but I think just going with some kind of connection to the person or their offering, I think is huge. And then of course, wanting to go to the location in general. I tend, you know, personally, when I go to any type of thing, whether it's a conference or a workshop or a retreat or something like this, for me, it's always relational because there's so many. You can just like book a random surfing retreat somewhere, which is great. I love surfing. But for me, it's more about the community and the connection. So I would say really starting with what you know, and or a referral of a friend who like did it and loved it. You know what I mean?
Got it. That's
and then
cool.
Personally, on my retreats, we have probably half of the attendees come with a friend or a partner, and then half are just solo travelers. So personally, I love traveling solo. I love going to conferences alone. I love it from a mobility perspective. You can kind of dip in and out of things, and you know, you're not always, you know, making someone else leave early or something like this. But I also think if you're doing something deeper, like a retreat, it depends on what your intention is, but I think really allowing yourself just some retreat, like the word retreat, like allowing yourself that quiet, allowing yourself that kind of back to the conversation of self-reflection and connection is that we're not always go, 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 go. So I actually really am a big fan of solo travel.
That's badass. That's ballsy. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So I have a quick question and then I'll go into my even quicker questions. My quick question is, because you do yoga and you combine your yoga with your productivity, are there any go-to yoga poses you have for like relaxing after a busy day?
Oh, I mean, always, Viparita Karani, where you sit with your legs up a wall. You're basically making a right angle with your booty at the wall and your feet up on the wall. Just so good for circulation. And it's really calming for the nervous system. So I'm a big fan of restorative or yin yoga. I mean, if you've been truly sitting all damn day, there's nothing like a good walk and a couple down dogs, you know, like get the blood flowing. But if you do feel kind of like overstimulated and spent, like definitely something more yin.
Ooh, legs up a wall. How long would somebody ideally sit like or lay like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say at least 5 or 10 minutes if you can, you know, put on some music, chillax.
I'm the type of person who would like do that at night, but also like be on Instagram or like writing emails. Is that a no-no?
I mean, it's better than not doing it. Although I would say from a nervous system perspective, the idea would be that you are kind of shutting down, moving away from the technology and the screen. But I think you can listen to a podcast. How about that? That
could be like a nice compromise. Yeah. 'Cause I just can't waste time. I just can't do that. Well, I have my own mental problems, so we'll address that some other time. Okay, so we said your favorite place you traveled thus far, Greece, right? Is that what the answer was?
I think so. Greece or Maui. I just love Maui, too.
Cool. Okay, what is your favorite plant to eat?
Oh, can we say the cacao treat? Does that count? Ooh, the aroma cacao?
Cool. You're the first to say that one.
I mean, always chocolate.
That's a good one. Cool. All right. What is your favorite plant party restaurant?
Oh, there's a place. So I live in Austin now, and there's this beautiful cafe called Casa de Luz. And it's an all vegan macrobiotic restaurant. And it's like nestled in bamboo and like so cozy and sweet. And I just love it. It's like a little Zen center.
Ooh, that sounds great. That sounds like Austin, like what I envision, I guess.
Totally.
Lots of little cool places. Okay. What is your favorite thing that you do for self-care?
Ooh, probably. Oh man. So many things.
I know.
Sitting in the sun, getting massages, reading. Those are probably three
reading.
Favorite.
That's, you know, you're not the first person to say reading. I think that's a cool thing to think about as self-care.
Yeah, definitely reading.
Hmm. Okay, well, what is a book that you've really loved that's inspired you in some awesome way?
Oh, well, right now, so I'm reading a lot of money books. Like I lead this Biz Babe Mastermind Circle I mentioned, and a lot of the conversation is around growing profit and numbers and financial literacy. So I've been doing a lot of personal research and also as a facilitator for the Biz Babes around money and really getting fluent in it. So I've been like nerding hardcore. So a book I'm reading right now is called Get Money.
Very straightforward.
Straightforward. Yep. Long, just fun. It's cheeky, you know, it's not too serious. And it's just great for someone who's like, literally, how do I adult? What is money? It's a great, just kind of a great fun read.
Cool. That's awesome. And where can everybody stay connected to you? I mean, you're talking about this magical mastermind, the magical Monday morning, the magical time. What was it that you said? Magical, what was it? The time that you should eat?
Oh yeah, your Monday magic number. You're right. You're the first person that's really, you're like, magic is your word.
Lots of magic going on. So where can everyone stay with your magic?
Well, I'm on the interwebs. My website's abbymiller.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm sure we'll tag it up. Abby Miller Holistic.
You Abby with DM an I. Me.
Abby with an I.
In case you didn't know that.
Abby Miller. ABBIMILER. And on Insta, it's Abby Miller Holistic. And give me a shout. If anybody wants to join the next Biz Babe Mastermind Circle, we say it's open for movers, shakers, entrepreneurs, and makers. So if you identify as any of those things, I would love to connect and just hear what resonated with you.
Oh, I like that. Movers, shakers, entrepreneurs, and makers. What's the difference between a mover and a shaker?
Great question. I'm going to be honest with you. I love how it sounds. Mover and a shaker. You know, it's like a make a shit happen kind of person.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for moving and shaking your magic on the show today.
Yes, Talia, thank you so much. So fun to connect.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you feel fired up to be the best CEO or employee or stay-at-home mommy or student you can be by taking a note out of this episode and showing up consistently for your body. I couldn't possibly emphasize more how much your life will change when you start shifting from thinking about food and its relation to your appearance to thinking about food's impact on your mood and how it makes you feel. I also can't say I'm a full convert for syncing my work with the moon, but I did Google the next new moon and yeah, okay, I think I need to dive into this a little deeper. Speaking of diving into things deeper, you should hit up the show notes for this episode where links to Abby's stuff and lots of my stuff that'll make you over the moon excited to eat more plants is all waiting for you at partyinmyplants.com/153.